cause you to grow in that. And that book, Goodbye Chicken, Hello Dove, is a resource I'd recommend. It's kind of in thirds. The first third is all about the identity of the Holy Spirit, because a lot of people will like confessionally say, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know, Godhead, Trinity, oh yeah, he's up there. But practically, it's only Father and Son in their awareness and pursuit and understanding. And a lot of people feel like the things of the Holy Spirit are vague, but Jesus in his teaching shows us the Holy Spirit is concrete and helpful, and he's there to minister the things of Christ. And that whole first chunk is all about that. Then the middle third is tracking how humans, anybody humans out there, how humans interacted with the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Because we want to make sure that we get all that God has for us, but we just want to make sure we're on solid biblical ground, right? And so we can kind of see the handrails kind of emerging from the mist of the pathway we're on, so to speak. And then the final third is all the practical stuff that everybody wants to know. How do I identify the Holy Spirit's voice? How can I grow to learn to hear more? How can I stay away from being a weirdo and yet become fully empowered, you know? How many are sitting by a weirdo tonight, you know? So he has some great, great stuff, and I think it'll be a blessing. There's other books and materials back there should it interest you. And then finally, there's we have one thing. If you don't like to read but you like to instead listen or watch, we took all of the teaching series that we've done over the last many years and had them put on this USB drive called a Holy Spirit Digital Teaching Library. And if it's relating to the Spirit of God, there's teaching about it on here. The personality, work of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing, all sorts of stuff, healing, receiving, ministering, healing, operating, all that stuff. There's even a series on here to help you in your relationship with your mother-in-law called Freedom from Manipulation. And And then there's also all of the small group videos that we've ever done on the Holy Spirit on there. There's one in there that will, honestly, I think it will change your life, called Realms of Prayer. It's the red covered video that's in there. But you can put these, I tell the story on there, our middle son up in the top there, Barrett. I tell the story how in 2004, in one of our mission trips in Indonesia on a real dangerous place, actually right up the road from an Al-Qaeda training camp, he was abducted. And tell the miraculous story about how God brought him back to us unharmed. Amazing stuff. But I think it will challenge and change your prayer life. And if you're interested, you can grab all that stuff for a special price back there. And all of those proceeds go to help us buy plane tickets and get lost. If you want to get rid of us far away, that's a great way of doing it. So take advantage of that if you like. All right, so our subject tonight is about analog Holy Spirit gifts. Do we have any analog files out there? People that just kind of like the scratchy analog better? It's digital's great, you know, but there's just something about good analog. In my office, we're based out of Pennsylvania now, and in my office I have a reel-to-reel deck. Anybody know Open Reels, right? And I have an Andre Crouch and Disciples Live from London reel that's actually like purchased with the cover on it. Like you could buy it back then. And every once in a while, I just have to put it on there. And there's just something about, you know, the sound and the, you know, the rawness of it. I don't know. Today's music is awesome. I love the styles and all that stuff. But the thing that kind of gets me is like everything's too perfect because it's kind of been quantized and whatever And that's fine. I appreciate it. It's cool. But like if you listen to that, like Sondra Crouch is playing the tambourine live the whole way through and may she rest in peace. It passed away a couple weeks ago, I guess now. But I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, now you just like play it once, sample it, and then you kind of quantize it and kick it all the way through, and it's, you know, the tambourine going the whole way. It's fine, but if that's not your style of music, if you like, you know, whatever, there's just something about it. It just feels a little more organic. I love the humanity. Even when we, because we're in churches every week, we usually average, depending on the week, 5 to 7 services a week that we're a part of, and I love church and all the expressions of the body of Christ, but I always feel a little more at home with people that aren't super impressed with themselves, you know? I mean, they're doing their best, but perfection is not their goal. Authenticity and spiritual vitality is, you know what I'm saying? There's like a difference, you know? Because we're not trying to, like, the 4 and 20 elders in heaven aren't going 10, 10, 10, 5, you know, because there's always that one angel from USSR or something like that, you know? But it's not like that. I mean, there's this spiritual life thing is about relationship. And we experience the kindness of God working with people. So this analog thing is kind of a metaphor for us Because I think a lot of times, as a Christian is growing and maturing, we all long to experience God's power and his help, and we want to do more for the Lord, and yet we are kind of overwhelmed with our own analog nature. That's kind of been a prophetic theme all the way through this service, even to this point. Like Pastor shared, you know, we feel like we're someone out working in the yard when God's calling us to a seat at the table, you know. We kind of feel that way, and it's easy for us to believe our own self-image and concept in that way rather than believing our biblical identity. And that could really stunt us, you know, if you've just been told your whole life, you know, you're a servant, not a son or a daughter. And, you know, it's kind of, you feel like, you know, if I'd really boldly approach the throne of grace, that would be like, you know, using a bump key to get into God's house, going in and making me a sandwich out of his fridge without asking permission. It feels presumptuous, you know. But this is something, this analog part, how does this fit in? Because I think we all long to experience more of God's power in our lives, right? So we can be more effective and be less like us and more like Jesus and in every way our personal purity and also, you know, an outward ministry. But I don't know about you. I mean, I'm pretty rough material, you know. Got a long ways to go, right? And we kind of think, well, once I get that one thing, you know, like I keep on thinking, you know, once I just back off on serial killing, then I'll be able to really get somewhere with God. And so, you know, it just feels like there's just that one more thing. But I think maybe our idea of this is wrong. Because maybe the analog part isn't something that God is as concerned about as we are. Now, not to say that God doesn't care about holiness and growth, but I think we all kind of feel like the finish line that we need to cross in order for us to be empowered by the Spirit in a greater way is at the end of some self-betterment, self-achievement. Once I, you know, whatever, then. But those are all artificial lines that we have created, and the Word of God shows us a very different pattern that God likes to use each one of us in spite of our brokenness, but while he's using us, he's causing us to grow in relationship, and he's mending us and healing us and imprinting his identity in us, and we're being changed from glory to glory and growing in him. But many people, they don't experience that kind of intimacy with God because they're waiting for some future nondescript day that the deadline always is pushed ahead for when they're better so they can experience God. But maybe God's calling out to some stuttering murderers in Midian right now from a burning bush saying, take off your sandals, Moses. Don't be afraid to get your analog feet in contact with God's perfect digital source. And his digital's not corrected. It's just organically digital, right? I always wonder why that was. Why would you take off your shoes, you know? I mean, you know, first of all, there's two types of feet. There's my feet that are sanitary and manicured, and then there's your feet, which are terrible. Other people's feet are disgusting, aren't they? You know? And, you know, there's that thing going on. So you kind of think, oh, okay, maybe there's humility there, but holy ground? Wouldn't you think if it's holy ground, God would say, hey, Moses, put on a, you know, hazmat suit, put on lead-bottomed shoes? This is holy ground. Don't corrupt my holy ground with your stinky feet, right? But could it be that God wanted his raw divinity to come in contact with Moses' raw humanity so Moses could know God more and be transformed more? So I want to ask you to do something. Would you stand with me to your feet tonight? And we want to take a look at some ways that God empowers. This is probably a familiar passage, and this is the Apostle Paul writing back to his church, his beloved church that was a problem church. Now, Paul's favorite church by far was Ephesus. I mean, you've read the letters. Paul's longest pastor there 3 years and, you know, big deal, biggest, most successful part of his ministry. Corinth, he had left Corinth to go to Ephesus with a little detour in there. And but he went to Corinth and it was rough, man. It's a place of paganism and difficulty, and, you know, there's a long story on it, but it's rough. It's like the Las Vegas of the Greco-Roman Empire, you know. A good place to get a disease you need penicillin for, you know, and to pick up a drug addiction. And, I mean, if for real, I mean, that's just the Proverbs talk from that era talk about that. There's one first century proverb that literally says, you cannot get as drunk as a Corinthian. I mean, wow, you know, they're born with pre-pickled livers, you know. I mean, it's just kind of the way it is. So Paul is now firmly in the great revival in Ephesus, about a year or so into it. You can read about that, Acts 18 and 19. And he gets a letter, 1 Corinthians 1, from one of the house church leaders in Corinth, because Corinth was a small, struggling house church group. A lady named Chloe, you can read about her in chapter 1. Pastor Paul, since you left, we have doctrinal problems and practical problems. Help us. And this 1 Corinthians letter, we call it, is Paul's response back about now about this issue wrote up, now about this, now about matters of conscience, now about the immorality here among you, now about the Lord's Supper, now about the coming of the Lord. And the biggest section is now about spiritual gifts. We know it as chapter 12, 13, and 14, and that's all one chunk, right? So I want us to read just a little bit, the first few verses of just chapter 12, where Paul is now obviously addressing people that are kind of new to this, likely, perhaps, from his language, people that have joined the church since he left, just coming out of raw paganism, and he's trying to help them because he's moving in this process. By the time he gets to chapter 14, he's taken the been there, done that people to task and saying, you need to get better at this, right? But are you ready to read just this beginning portion with me? Out loud, big and bold. If you mutter your elbow, you will receive an elbow from your neighbor, all right? All right, here we go. You ready? Let's read it together. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, God, tonight in just a few moments, as we begin to pray and seek to you, seek your face and know you more, that you will allow our raw humanity to come in contact with your raw divinity, more than just coming to fix something or, you know, open up a Christmas morning gift from you. But Lord, that we would know you more and know your ways more, and we'd be drawn deeper in devotion and desire to be like you, and it would change our behaviors and our pursuits and our priorities, even the way we manage our time, because we long to be with the God who calls to us from the burning bush. Speak to us, Lord. And Jesus, trying to follow your pattern where you always taught about the kingdom of heaven and healed the sick, I welcome you, Lord. Would you just peel back the corner of the roof right now and just begin to pour your healing anointing in this room? I just pray even right now it would just begin to fill up and marinate us in that, Lord. I pray by the time healing prayer comes tonight that so many will have already received from you. It would be so second nature as we lower our guard and trust you and welcome you that you would come and pour heaven's best on us tonight, Lord. Thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Thank you for your goodness tonight. Amen. Amen. You can be seated if you want. So, you know, you can go into a big, thing about all spiritual gift lists because the Apostle Paul has three major ones. And this particular one has an obvious focus on the ones that appear to be a little more supernatural. Like, you don't have, like, administrations on here, you know, or generosity. Those are spiritual and powerful, but this particular list, Paul is focusing in on these overtly supernatural, like they have some wow factor to them gifts. And of these gifts, if we could go back to the first scripture slide, please. I'm going to just highlight just three verses real fast. The first now concerning, that's Paul's, okay, now we're changing the subject from the last issue, that's kind of his language. Now concerning spiritual gifts, it's actually spirituals, it's pneumaticon, it's spiritual issues, or you could say lofty things, things that feel mysterious or distant. It's actually not even gifts, it's just kind of an English addition, and this is a good translation, but it's just, it's lofty spiritual things. Like if you were a new believer, the thing, like you feel God, and you're holding the fireworks inside, but you feel like you're, you know, about to lose it, and you're trying to keep control, and you feel God, you know, inside, you don't know what to do. All of those things, the things that are wow-inducing, awe-inducing. I do not want you to be unaware. Paul is speaking here most likely to new believers or people that are new to experiencing the Holy Spirit and his power. He says, hey, I want you to understand the Holy Spirit's power in a greater way. Isn't that good news for all of us? This is not some mystical secret recipe, you know, you got to be mentored by Pastor Mace Windu or whatever it is in order to, you know, it's not like that. It's not a safe to be cracked. This is a journey God is calling all of us on, and all of us as believers, God wants us to be people that are full of the power of the Spirit, reliant upon the power of the Spirit, and able to demonstrate the power of the Spirit, right? That was a good spot to say amen, or I'll drink to that. Okay, then he goes and talks about, hey, you used to be pagans, you were led by the seat of your pants. Go to the next one, please. But now in the kingdom of God, there's order. The kingdom of God is different, you know? And he kind of sets this up, you know, and there's lots of reasons historically why he says this, but just kind of interesting. Then go to the next one, please. Now he begins to describe. He says, there are all kinds of varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, same Lord. Varieties of effects, same God. Paul's Trinitarian theology always sneaks out somewhere, you know. But what he's trying to do here, he's talking to pagans, ex-pagans, who they had a different God for everything, specialized God for everything. And he's like, no, God is a one-stop shop, right? And he actually hammers this in. If you'll go to the next slide real quick, he hammers this in as he begins to unpack some of this giftings. And Paul's lists are never, we don't think they're all fully complete, like these are the only thing God does. But maybe his approach could likely be, most theologians that I've read have agreed, that Paul is just trying to say, like, these are the most common things that you can experience, you know, because God can do anything. But he says, for to one person is given a word of wisdom through whom? Through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Go to the next one, please. To another, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit, right? Because the Greco-Roman deity system, there was a God, specialized God for everything. And so that's really important to kind of see that, you know, idolatry is trying to kind of work the systems to get what you want from the God you're trying to worship. But we're not trying to get what we want. We're trying to relate to God, trying to humble ourselves. This is deeply relational and vulnerable. You know, it's a very different thing. I mean, you know, all the other world religions, on some level, at the end of the day, their God, their deities want you to die for them. But in ours, before we were ever born, God came and died for us. Just a very upside down from pagan worldview. Would you go back to that second slide just real fast, just a couple more verses? Okay, go to the third, I'm sorry. Thanks for your help. You guys are awesome. So look at the bottom. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So each one, each person, each incident, probably yes for both of those, each one of us, everyone in this room that loves Jesus, anybody love Jesus? Okay. God has new levels of giftedness for you. And a lot of times we'll use devices like we'll take spiritual gift assessments maybe, and they can be helpful. But when you're talking about these things, there's no personality bend that makes you more likely to be, you know, be prophetic or whatever. Some of the gifts you can kind of see by the way you are. But these are kind of, they're outside of the scope of human ability, aren't they? Because a lot of people just write this off, oh, that's not for me. I have the gift of criticism or whatever. That one's not for me. And they kind of write it off. But it doesn't matter how you perceive yourself. God has something better for us. And to each one, he wants to give us the manifestation or the showing forth, the demonstration of the Spirit, for what? To build everybody else up, right? And so this is really helpful because when we approach the power of the Holy Spirit as you know, God wants to use me to build other people up rather than God wants to use me to raise my sense of importance or whatever, you know. It's kind of pukey to use Jesus's words. You know, you read Revelation. And so it's just kind of gross. It kind of takes something that's beautiful and sacred and holy and turns it in like using Jesus to promote yourself. And I think we've all maybe been around people like that, sometimes even when we've been around ourselves. And then if you go to the last scripture slide, please, you'll notice the very bottom scripture, third line, but one and the same Spirit works all of these things, not a different spirit, a different deity for each one, and he distributes to each one individually just as he wills. We live, you know, with the Western management and things like that over us, so we know if you've got a, you know, an issue with whatever, you know, you got to call the, you know, can I speak to your manager? Can I speak to your supervisor? Whatever, you know. And Christians can be the worst on this, too. Christians can be so mean, you know. But, you know, you go to church and put $100 in the offering, then you can't leave $2 on the table for your coffee afterwards. It's kind of funny. But we can kind of get that way. And we kind of think about hierarchy of management. Certainly someone as unimportant as me. I mean, none of you have ever heard of me before, you know, someone as unimportant as me. I mean, the Holy Spirit himself wouldn't like gift me and speak to me. It certainly would be like the regional manager or maybe the assistant to the regional manager, you know. Yeah. And, you know, it would be something, but what's the Bible say? Every time God is moving on, you know, over 2 billion Christians on the earth by his Spirit, it's God's Holy Spirit himself, the one who came to live inside of you the second you put your faith in Christ. He himself is the one who's prompting you. See how that can kind of build courage in you? So let's look at this question here. We're almost done. Are the gifts analog or digital? You know? So this is a great question, again, because we have this thing, well, I kind of understand a little bit, but I don't understand enough to really step out. But that's just the way with God's supernatural. You never fully understand, do you? You know, actually, serving God is like a teaspoon of information and a swimming pool full of trust, you know? You know enough to act. We don't understand it all. We have so many questions, you know? And this is kind of the way this works. We see biblically that there are kind of three parties involved when God's Spirit is gifting and operating. So you have, of course, the source, who is the Holy Spirit, one and the same Spirit. And then on the other hand, you have the beneficiary. So this, you know, if you pray for someone and they're healed, that's the person that gets healed. Or maybe there's a prophetic word, whether it comes with Elizabethan English and it feels like a formal prophecy, or whether I love it when it's just kind of like down low and you're talking to a neighbor and God just guides your words. How many of you know that's prophetic, right? And you know, like, I'm not smart enough. I haven't had these thoughts before. I know this is Jesus. And the person can feel this interior weight behind your words. But it wasn't like, you know, my children, my children. Because how many know every good church prophecy has to start with a soap opera title, you know? But whether it's formal, whatever, the beneficiary are the people who are built up. But then in the middle is the person or people being used. We say the gifted person. I don't even like that terminology, but it's kind of the way we talk about it. So you have the source, the connector, and the need. So you guys experienced electricity before. You're experiencing it right now. I don't see any outlets on this platform because they're hidden away so nice. But, you know, if you have, how many have experienced electricity? Come on, it's not West Virginia. All right, so, you know, you've got these outlets on the wall. They've got a 110 volts of alternating current, 60 cycles a second on that hot pin. I mean, you know, if there's an outlet that's open, say I had an outlet right here and had a table right here with a lamp on it. A lamp cord is what, like a yard long? You know, or if you're a Canadian, a meter or whatever, I guess the rest of the world. But it's not going to reach. What would I need in order for to become the beneficiary of the light from this lamp? How would I connect the source to the need? An extension cord, right? Okay. So you've seen these things before, right? Matter of fact, you have so many of these, you have more than you think you do. Now, this is a cheapo, man. This is like a Dollar General 99-cent one. I don't even know if it's even wired right. I wouldn't trust it, right? But all this does, like, extension cords are kind of cheap and disposable, and How many of you have some really cruddy ones in your garage, too? Like that one that's got, like, the duct tape around it and the paint all over it, and you're pretty sure. Last time, you usually got shocked, but you can get a couple more usages out of it, you know? And all this does is this connects the source to the need. It makes the power portable, so to speak. And this is really our role in being used in the gifts. We connect with the digital power of the Holy Spirit, and yet God uses our extension cord to bring it to bear wherever we're at. Like, a lot of people think that the power of God is only for church after you sing all the spooky worship songs and they turn the fog music on or playing the Yanny music. You know, then we're ready. But what about at your workplace or your school or your home or your neighborhood or your doily knitting club or whatever you're doing, or on the basketball court, you know? I mean, you love Jesus there just as much, don't you? But we typically don't think about it. We typically go, well, you know, that's not my gift. Well, how do we know that? Because it's really not about my gift. It's about his gift. And I'm just the cord. The cord doesn't get to pick what it plugs into on the outlet end. You know, you plug it into the power side. Now, extension cords are a great metaphor for this, because do you have someone around the region here that just, like, overdoes it for Christmas lights? Every area has, like, you're like, come on, man, you know. And maybe you're in the room. If you're okay, but all the other ones are terrible. How's that? But we recently moved after 25 years from Wichita, Kansas, back to Pennsylvania this last fall. And on our little street in Wichita, Kansas, we had a dude that was an electrical engineer, because Wichita, Kansas is the aircraft capital of the world. More planes built in Wichita than any other city on earth. Over a third of the world's airplanes are built there. And so everybody's aircraft industry. And we had a guy down the street that was an electrical engineer for Cessna, and then once they conglomerated with Learjet, whatever. So he was like, he was just a geek. And from about, a nice guy, but a geek, because he's not here, I can tell you the truth. And from about Halloween on, he was out in his yard. And he had designed a system where I talked to him extensively about it because it was just mind-blowing. Every 6 inches of his yard, his house, his roof was covered with a mesh of LEDs, and each one was a pixel, right? And so then he had mapped it with a video screen, just crazy. You drive by, you tune to the radio, and all of a sudden it'd kick on. And it was, like, so bright. I mean, it just was ridiculous. And finally, they would have, like, tours. People would, like, rent limousines and do a, Christmas lights trip around the city. And they always ended at his house. So our street was a traffic jam for the month of November and December, right? Or mid-November to when he was done. And then, it's just crazy. Anyway, so but it's fine. I mean, he can have a $900 electrical bill if he wants it. But you see those beautiful Christmas lights, and you go, wow, that's maybe you have a park or something that does. You put your arm around your honey, and you go, oh, look at that. Wow. Look at what that extension cord is doing. Wow. Matter of fact, you can go to Hobby Lobby or Michael's, and I don't think they offer an extension cord bedazzlement kit. Comes with a hot glue gun and rhinestones and feathers and, plastic jewels, whatever. I mean, in fact, aren't extension cords just utilitarian? Don't you try to hide them? Right? They're not the point. The point is the source and the need being met. And yet, for some reason in this, we excuse ourselves from being open to God's giftedness because we don't think we're a good enough extension cord. And we're not, but he makes up for that. But then also, then when God starts using us right away, the pendulum swings, and all of a sudden we think we're God's favorite. Well, check out who God is using. Did you see the way I did that when they were healed or whatever, And we kind of have this way of viewing the gifts then after God starts using us as a way for people to look at us, when really, God can use any extension cord. You've read the Bible. He uses rough people, right? And then if that extension cord gets all frayed, then he just grabs another one. It's what he's done with Christian groups throughout the years, as they've kind of grown apostate and they begin to deny the deity of Jesus, whatever, and then he raises up a ragtag bunch of nobodies with no education. He pours the Spirit out upon them and moves down the pipeline, And we just see God just using people. The gifts are digital, but the extension cords are analog. And that's not an excuse for us to go, well, I'm just going to live any way I want and God will use me, you know, whatever. Because all the while we're getting, if we're doing this properly, we're loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, plugged into the source, loving our neighbor as ourself, allowing God to use us, we're staying in that tension in that way, then the grace and love of God flows through us and he builds us and transforms us the whole way the whole time he's using us. So, you know, you've got 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, you've got this part where Paul says basically, hey, so you've got one gift. You know, you can speak in the tongues of men and angels, but you're a jerk, right? I'm paraphrasing. It cancels out, you know? And then the next verse, then he amplifies it, and he takes all nine of these gifts and summarizes them in three snippets and says, okay, so you can say the things God wants you to say. You have all revelation giftings, and you have such power, you can move mountains. So you've got, you know, communication gifts, you've got revelation gifts, you've got demonstration gifts, but you're still a jerk. It cancels out. And then so let the pursuit of the character-changing love of God be your first goal, but then right underneath that, earnestly desire these spiritual giftings. So look at these real quick. We're not going to teach through these, but go to the next one. And just kind of look at this real fast. Go to the next one, please. So one more. Sorry about that. Okay, so we have communication gifts. I'm just breaking these up kind of like Paul does in 1 Corinthians 13, 2. You could say on some level these are saying the things God wants you to say in a moment or speaking some of God's words. When you're used in this way, you're not perfect. Everything you say isn't necessarily from God. That's why you have to approach this with great sobriety, you know? And because God guided you to say something last time, you can't just assume that anything that pops in your brain is God, because you have to stay plugged into the source, right? And so it's saying some of God's words, and some examples of these are like a public tongues with interpretation or prophecy. But blow all this out, because a lot of people go, well, I've never had that happen. But have you ever been in that moment where you sense God guiding your words as you talk to somebody? How many have ever been there? Wave a hand, not as a brag, but as a giving God glory for that? It's the same function. He's guiding your words. And even if it didn't happen in a church service with a microphone and a hot spotlight or whatever, but it happened, you know, at the, you know, McDonald's drive-through or something like that, which is a great place for working your miracles as you're polluting your temple. God gives you something to say. A lot of people think that these gifts haven't ever happened or will never happen, but I've found when you really begin to dig in, probably most of us have operated in a lot of these ways. Then you have not just saying some of God's words, but then the next one, please. Then you have revelation gifts, and this is kind of knowing some of God's thoughts. And Paul doesn't give specific definitions for these, but we kind of get an idea from what he means by the words he uses here and then elsewhere in his 13 letters. We kind of get an idea. So like perhaps, and again, it could be richer than this, but a word of knowledge, a gnosis, it's logos, gnosis, logos, a portion, like not the whole chicken, just the McNugget, and then gnosis, data, information. Maybe where God prompts us to know something. Maybe you could even distill it down to, in its base form, just even a noun that doesn't come from you thinking about something, but revelation, like, again, just to give God glory, how many have ever had that thing where all of a sudden, out of the blue, you just know you need to pray about someone or go see somebody or whatever, right? So this is a normal way the Holy Spirit works. You don't have to be a TV evangelist. You always have to do this first. You in the back, you know, you got a, you know, hairy red wart behind your left ear. Stand up and receive your miracle or whatever, you know. I mean, it's fine. God does that. We see Paul in Lystra in Acts 14 with a public word of knowledge for healing. But most of the words of knowledge that we think by this definition we see in the scripture aren't about healing. It's fine if it happens that way. It most often is in evangelistic settings, right? And so, and prayer and intercession and things like this. And so we're kind of already being used in this, or a word of wisdom. And again, we don't have a pure biblical definition, but the best guess that a lot of theologians have is this is God, where God just kind of lets you know what to do, even if you don't know why. And I think we've all had things like that happen before, you know. And then discerning of spirits. This is not discernment. That's a different thing that comes through maturity. There's no gift of discernment. It's discerning of what? Spirits. Kind of like what spirit is behind this. Like John 6, Jesus said to the disciples, you don't know what spirit is motivating you right now, you know, kind of a thing. And that's really helpful in a lot of ways. But again, this is not spooky. I see dead people. I see demons, whatever. And I got to tell you, as a leader, if I have a Christian come to me and they're seeing demons ever, I saw a demon behind a rock, I saw a demon in the whatever, you know, that becomes a red flag to me if they have that consistent pattern, because as a leader, that makes me say, I'm concerned for them because they are more sensitive to the demonic than they are to the holy. Not that God can't give us that, but it's in context. In fact, probably the highest form of discerning of spirits is discerning the Holy Spirit at work. So let me give you some practical helps, and we're going to pray and worship some more, all right? So here, we got one more. We have demonstration gifts. Yeah, so you have speaking some of God's words, knowing some of God's thoughts, and doing some of God's actions or deeds. And here you have gifts of healings, and it's a double plural in the Greek, and then workings of miracles, energema dunamis. It's kind of a cool thing we don't have time to crack into, a gift of faith, probably a specific intense faith that can come. Maybe you have unsaved loved ones, and all of a sudden as you're praying and interceding, even though they haven't given their life to Christ, all of a sudden one day it just awakens that you just know God's going to save them. And you pray with a different level of faith. You know, I mean, these things are very common, but we most often define them by the most extreme, you know, lightning bolts in the sky kind of way, but we're already kind of operating in these. Why don't we yield ourselves to God and plug into his source and let the power flow in our lives in a greater way? Here's practical helps. Ready? So you got to learn how to listen in the right spot. These promptings from the Holy Spirit don't come as a result of intellectual concentration. Like, I've seen people trying to be prophetic, and they're like, they see this dude walk to them, and he's got a hook, and he's got a peg leg, and a patch over his eye, a parrot on his shoulder, you know, smells like rum. And you go, wait a minute, I'm getting a revelation. Wait, I believe, sir, that the Holy Spirit is telling me that you have scurvy. Of course he has scurvy. He's a pirate. They all do. That's not a word of knowledge. That's you playing Sherlock Holmes, right? And whenever we pretend, we're actually lying. And God doesn't bless lies. Actually, that becomes a false prophetic gift then, right? Motivated by, check out my extension cord, because you're not so concerned about the source, and you certainly don't care about the person on the other end. All you want them to plug into is how great you are, you know? And so these gifts, they're not intellectual in nature. In fact, a lot of times your mind will go, that can't be, you know. I feel uncomfortable. Of course you feel uncomfortable. It's a spiritual prompting. How many know what God's presence feels like? In that spot, in that warm spot where he moves you and stirs you, where you sensed him probably tonight during worship, that's where these promptings come from. They don't come from you charting out, plotting out. They come from that inner prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important to be a worshiper and a prayer, because you learn how to get to that spot where you can really listen. Then number two, and if their team wants to come back up, it'd be great. Slow down. The supernatural ways of the Spirit are always uncomfortable to our natural mind, because if I told you, hey, I need some people to put a fence in, I'd get all the people that know what they're doing in building a fence to volunteer, and you would come and you would implement your skills to do that, hopefully. But if I say, hey, we need some people to come and raise the dead or whatever, you know, I got an uncle that's a mortician, but I don't think that helps here, you know. And, you know, right away we'd excuse ourselves because we don't feel skill qualified. But if we would step out, we would try to hurry it up and get it over with as quickly as possible so we could technically obey God, but get it over, get out of that uncomfortable state. Like, maybe you've been there. I remember one time, one of the first people I ever prayed for to be healed when I was 12 years old. I was so uncomfortable, pitting my shirt out. Oh, I was so scared. Talk like an auctioneer because I was so nervous. And I stretched my hand out. As my friend had a broken nose, he just smacked his nose on a diving board and is flat, man. We're in a car. The lifeguard was driving us to the emergency room. I'm sitting there praying. We got a beach towel up, cut all the blood. I mean, it was bad. He looked like a Lone Ranger with the mask on from all the blood around his eyes. And my other friend kind of shamed me into praying for this guy, for Dave. And I reached over and I remember, I don't think this was the exact words, but it was like, I'm going to technically do it, but I'm not going to do it with any gusto or any concern. It's like, as quick as I can plug in and unplug, because I'm out of here. It's like, Lord, heal him, kill him. I don't care. I'm just done. Amen. You know? And, but when in that time have you actually considerately said, Lord, I'm seeking you on this. This is something I can't do. And Lord, I want this person to sense your love and compassion in this moment. And because really, honestly, and this may surprise you, but over the years, and it's not a brag, it's a brag on the Lord, because I've never been able to do anything supernatural myself, you know. Without him, we can do nothing, right? But over the years, over 30-plus years now, and we've seen God do unbelievable miracles. Born blind seeing, born deaf hearing, lame walking, I mean, dumb speaking, mute speaking. Just a little while ago in Tanzania, I watched a man with stage 4 lung cancer, literally had erupted and eaten through his sternum with a bandage over his chest because of this eruption of this. I don't want to gross you out, but it was like whitish gray tissue that was erupting out with blood. I mean, it was awful. And we prayed for him, and then he looks in a panic, and his wife and son help him out. I mean, he's a big guy. They drag him out the side door, and I thought he's dying. And about 10 minutes later, he comes back walking in. He's got blood all over his shirt, and he's got in a bag the 2-liter-size Coke bottle-size bloody cancer he vomited up. And he said, look at this. And he tore his shirt back, and there was not even a scar. There was a lot of blood because he had puked it up. But, I mean, like, wow. And I don't know how to do any of that. I mean, you stand in awe because it's not the cord. It's the source. And our main concern is slowing down, letting God use us. Then number 3, you go fishing for the gifts. What I mean by that is, most people think that God is only going to use you in the gifts if he, like, rings your doorbell, sends up a flare. Right. And that's presumption. Because if he gives these things generously as he wills, and we've got our fingers in our ears going la, 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 worry about our own agenda, we're probably going to miss most of what he wants us to do. Yeah. It's not like once in a blue moon God wants to use you. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. And God has more gifts for each one of us than we've ever begun to perceive. So when I say go fishing for the gifts, what I mean is however it works for you, however you implement, but find yourself some time in each day, maybe some transitional moment when you enter a new environment or when you're, you know, alone or whatever it is, just to stop and say, Lord, because you can kind of summarize all the, Lord, is there anything you want me to say? Is there anything you want me to know? Is there anything you want me to do as I enter work or as I go to school or as I go to Walmart? And he may or may not say, just wait for 10 seconds and quiet your heart. Listen and where you sense God's presence. And I found he doesn't always say something, but a lot of times he does. And I wonder how many of those moments I would have missed if I hadn't just, and you don't have to do it that way, figure out some way that's memorable for you. But rather than just thinking, if God wants to use me, he'll come and zap me, you know? Maybe you could request of him, inquire of him, because he gave us the invitation to earnestly desire them. And then finally, the main point of all these things is not that you do something perfect. Check out that extension cord, you know. You pray for someone and it's such a great miracle, you have to dismount. You know, it's so perfect, right? The whole idea of this is that that person experiences God's love. Because that's really what all these things are about, that they display the love and care and kindness of God. I think sometimes we get so extension cord focused, and then kind of in a secondary way, we're God source focused. And the lowest one in the ranking is the actual person that God's trying to express his love to. This may surprise you, but you know, your performance and the words you say don't matter. They're not your main concern. Most people are worried about, you know, I gotta have perfect grammar. And this may surprise you, it may not, but over the years, it has on many times, numerous times, that I've misunderstood someone when they've asked me to pray for healing outside of church, truck stop, airplane, whatever it is. And, you know, how could I pray for you? And, oh, you know, I've got whatever. And I misunderstand them because it's a noisy environment. And I literally pray for them to be healed of a condition they don't have. And God heals them of the right one anyway. But that doesn't surprise anybody, does it? Because the cord is analog. But the source is digital. And your main concern whenever you're being used in these things is that God's love and kindness and character is being expressed to that person. I'm going to tell you, it takes the pressure off. You still have to get over yourself and over your ego and over my ego and over our brokenness and over our, you know, insecurity. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's all a process, because as God's working in you and through you, seeing showing his glory through you as you love others. The main concern for me when I pray for someone is, do they feel the love of God right now? Do they feel the kindness of Jesus? Do they feel his strength and his grace? And I found when you approach it that way, the gift just kind of sneaks through the extension cord, because they're the main concern. They're the reason why God is gifting, and they should be the focus of all our attention and care in that moment. Anybody interested in God using you in new and powerful ways? Yeah? Do me a favor, stand with me to your feet if you'd like God to use you in new ways. And would you just stick with me just for a moment? Kind of visually, maybe in one hand, would you get the prong end of your extension cord in one hand? If you're a righty, put it in your right. If you're a lefty, put it in your left. And maybe symbolically, I don't know if it seems foolish, you don't have to, but if you like, just kind of lift it up. And would you just right now where you stand, would you just pray and just talk to God about connecting into his source? Come on. Lord Jesus, I don't think that I have by any means scratched the surface of all you want to do through my life. And it's really hard for me to see that because I know my weaknesses. I know how bad my breath is every morning, Lord. I know my failures. I know my insecurities. Lord Jesus, I also know you, and you've been so kind and so good and so merciful and so miraculous in my life. And I'd like to not just be a consumer in the kingdom of God, but I'd like to be a minister. And Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't have the power, the giftings, the wisdom, the resources, but I want to plug into you because every good and perfect gift comes from you. Come on, just invite the Holy Spirit to freshly gift your life. I don't know what that will look like at any given moment. He may use you repeatedly in a similar gift over and over again. He may use you as a Swiss Army knife and, you know, whatever the issue may need at that moment. But come on. Spirit of God, I welcome you to send your gifts through my life. I promise you I won't know what I'm doing. I'll probably make a lot of mistakes. But my main concern is not the performance of the extension cord. It's that I'm plugged into you. These all happen from you. You are the one. I want to catch your promptings. Lord, would you anoint us to catch every prompting, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Help us, Lord, to add listening to you into our routines. And I pray, Lord, you'd speak to us. I know it will call us out of our comfort zone. Now, if you want to lift your other hand to the Lord, you can keep them both up if you want, or if one's tired, you can switch them out. There's no difficult burden in that, but would you reach up with that other hand and talk to God about plugging into the needs of people around you? Come on, lift your voices with me. It's just us here tonight. Jesus, help me to love and care for others around me. We live in such a selfish world. Everything's about me and my place and getting ahead in traffic and getting ahead in life and getting a better this and a better that and and it seems like most of the Christian models we have are more about getting to a spot where you can demand a pedicure from others rather than get to the spot of humility where we could wash their feet. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would turn that upside down parable right side up. Lord, help us to love others like you love them, like you love us. Help us not to view the lost or the hurting as a detour or distraction. Lord, wake us up in the middle of the night. May we cry out tears for friends and family members who don't know you as Savior. May we be arrested, Lord, in the dailiness of life with the needs of people around us. May we be more concerned that they don't know you or that they have needs than we are about our own ego. Oh, Jesus, I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I want to love the neighbor as myself. So, Lord, let the extension cord fade into the background, be tucked along the baseboard so nobody sees it. But God, everywhere I go, I give myself to you. Use me for your glory. Use me for your glory. Use me for your glory. Just one more moment while heads are bowed. I always want to ask the most important question. Maybe there's someone in this room or someone watching online that you have never surrendered your life to Jesus. the Bible shows us it's actually really easy to get in a right relationship with God on one level, but it's also kind of difficult on another level. The Apostle Paul says there's two ingredients to getting right with God, repentance and faith. And repentance is tough because that means we have to be vulnerable. God, I not only have a sin problem, but I've got a sin problem so bad I can't fix it. And it's so bad no other earthly person or agency can fix it. I need supernatural help to fix my terminal sin problem. And the problem is that all of us have sinned. So repentance is kind of difficult for us on one level. But when you have spiritual clarity and you realize the generosity of our Savior, who thousands of years before any of us were born already came and already paid the price and made a way, and he's just looking for us to accept his work and believe. That second ingredient, you have repentance, which kind of can be difficult for us sometimes because of our ego and pride, and then faith. And faith is something God will help us with. In the end of the Gospel of John, John said, everyone that came to Jesus, to that person, he gave the power to become a child of God. And he's just standing here waiting to give you the power to believe, put your trust in him. And tonight, if you say, hey, I'm not living in a right relationship with God, but I'm gonna get in that spot. I'm not asking you to join any church. We're asking you to follow the biblical pathway of calling on Jesus for yourself. And tonight, if you say, hey, I want to give my life to Christ, if you just wave a hand, I won't embarrass you or call you out, but this is your night. We thank God for great music and Christian fellowship and encouragement and discipleship. But at the end of the day, it's all about the lost, isn't it? And if you want to receive Christ tonight, I want to ask you to pray with me. But if you already know Jesus, would you not pray this prayer? But would you take this next 20 seconds and would you pray your own personal fresh prayer of repentance before the Lord? You're not getting saved again. You're just doing some spring cleaning. Maybe somebody cut you off in traffic or whatever on the way here. You know, we can crud up pretty quick. So if you already know Jesus, would you ignore me for the next 20 seconds and just begin to pray your own prayer? And would you at least whisper it? Because that is more vulnerability than praying silently. And the more vulnerable we are, the more we receive from God. All right, I just release you to begin to pray that now. If you want to receive Christ, you can pray your own words. God would hear you, but often people feel like they would like a friend to walk with them, and I would be honored to be that friend if you'd like to pray something like this with me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your one and only Son, and that there is no one else who can save me from my sin but Jesus. And Lord, I have sinned. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against others. I've even sinned against myself, and I cannot fix that. Savior, would you save me? Would you wash me clean and cause your Holy Spirit to come and live inside of me now as a sign that I belong to you, that you have signed the adoption papers? I no longer belong to myself. I no longer belong to the enemy. But I now belong to you, King Jesus. Would you rule and reign in my life from this day forward? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, all over this room, would you join me if you'd like to? Maybe you want to lift a hand, but I'm going to ask you, if you would just for 2 minutes with me, would you pray out loud? You don't have to yell or scream or anything. It can be whispers, you know. But take a step beyond what you normally do, and would you begin to ask the Lord to use you more for his glory? In fact, I think the last slide is like an enumeration of giftings that just from this passage. Maybe we could put that up there, and if you can't think of anything to pray about, you could kind of walk through that. Should be the last one. That's it. Just leave that up there for a few minutes. Thanks. And if you kind of feel like you need something to kind of prompt you to pray, you could kind of pray through some of those. I don't know what God has for any one of us. But come on, would you just begin to offer yourself to God with me? Come on, be verbal right now. Even if you're super shy, it can be whispers. You can cover your mouth. But don't just think your prayers. Offer yourself to God with greater vulnerability. Oh, Jesus, here in your house, I just want you to know, Lord, I long to be like you in every way. Would you use me for your glory? Lord, I'm giving you an earthen vessel, but I ask you to fill it with your treasure. Help me to love others, Lord, more than I care about what they think about me. Help me to love you more than I'm concerned about failure in myself. God, help me to be concerned about the either end of the extension cord rather than the cord. And Lord, whatever you want to send, through my extension cord, wherever I am. I just want you to know I'm available. I might mess it up from time to time, but, you know, I'm giving you what I have. I'm giving you my 5 loaves and 2 fish. Would you break it and bless it? Would you do what only you can do? God, I pray that this week each one of us would have that prompting, that opportunity to step out of our comfort zone. We'll know it. We'll feel the spiritual stirring. Our brain won't like it, but our spirit will know it's you. Help us to trust not in our fears, but to trust in that prompting that comes from the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Use us for your glory, Lord. I pray every person in this room would have at least 1 or 2 or 3 opportunities in the next 7 days where they just know, they can know that prompting. It's a God prompting. Give us the power to get over ourselves and just begin to follow the breadcrumbs and listen to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, would you ask him to pour a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life? God, if there's anything you want us to say, anoint us to say it. Anything you want us to do, anoint us to do it. Anything you want us to know, anoint us to know it, Lord. Whether it feels like a formal gift in operation or whether we maybe can't put our finger exactly on it, but we know it's a you prompting. Give us the grace and faith and courage to step out of our place of fear and insecurity to a place dependent on you, filled with love for others, so that your power and grace just flows so naturally. Use us.